Welcome to the Tax Break Breakdown with your hosts, Greg and Doug. Sit back and relax while they review current and upcoming child care tax credit programs employers can take advantage of. Now, on to the show.
How are we going to start like this? Welcome, everybody, to episode 4 of the Tax Break Breakdown with your hosts, Greg and Doug, now known as Grug. Today's episode, we are titling Child Care Subsidies or Stipends. They're both used interchangeably, taxable or tax-free. That middle part is not part of the title. So it's episode 4, Child Care Subsidies or Stipends, taxable or tax-free. I did our last count, Douglas. We have crossed the 50 podcast subscribers. 49 more than you thought.
See how many email addresses my mom signed up with.
And 453 subscribers to the newsletter on LinkedIn, which wow. I didn't think it'd get to 453 that quick. That's pretty cool. I wonder who they are. I don't know. We'll have to check them out. 400 times. That's actually pretty cool to see. I really want to dig in to see, first of all, how many people do we work with signed up? And how many friends and family signed up? But I know that there's some people that have never heard of us, and maybe they found us through LinkedIn, or maybe now we're on Apple Podcasts, we're on Spotify, we're on Google, we're on iHeartRadio, we're on like 10 different ones. This is definitely a resume builder.
Yeah.
All podcast platforms.
Your distribution skills are fantastic. I appreciate that. They are, right? It's all you. It's not me.
I know. let's get into the Grug fact.
Yeah, the Grug fact.
Why don't you take this one again? You've been taking them, so Grug fact.
Yeah, so this one, wow, it took us, we had our like enlightening moment where we found out, a lot of details, but this one took us a little bit longer, but we have, or at least our wives drive, but we own the same cars. Black Kia Sorentos. Was a good choice then. They haven't gotten stolen, so that's good, but definitely some issues recently around that. So not long-term the wisest choice. We'll see what happens when insurance renewals come around. But yeah, the same year color model Kia Sorento lives in both of our garages.
That's crazy. It is crazy. I think next year we may trade it in for the Kia Carnival. Have you seen that one? Kind of looks like an SUV, minivan.
Bigger third row, right? Yeah.
Yeah. It's not the one that has the, there's a minivan that has a vacuum cleaner in it. Like the car.
It's like Pontiac Aztec levels of convenience. Used to have a cooler.
So that's the Grug fact of the day. We got a couple more. Last episode we came up with another one. But just weird things that I don't know, coincidence, destiny, I don't know.
Yeah.
Let's jump into the news. We got a couple news things for the industry, child care wise, benefit wise. The first one being a call back to our first episode, which is crazy to say, right? First episode. Because now we're on number 4.
It's 4.
4 out of 4. This is it.
Yeah.
More than we thought.
We've tried some quadruple episodes.
For those that are on our YouTube channel, which I didn't bring that stat into it, but we have 2 subscribers.
Itchy.
Let's do more than I thought. I want to show for those that are But those that are on YouTube, I'm going to show here. Colin, back to first episode, we talked about Indiana. They were given $25 million away. Like, we did the episode and we were like, hey, you have a week to apply. Part of that episode was also like, hey, child care is a problem. Why isn't the government doing anything about it? And we were like, they are doing something about it and it's real. And here's Indiana. Well, guess what? They released the list. And I'm showing on the screen the companies that got approved. I don't think it totals up to 18 million. I thought it was 25. It's 18.1 million. 64, but here are some of them. And you'll see here, Plymouth Community Schools. They got $350,000 in Marshall County. Avanti Group, which I think is hospitality. I think I came across them in one of my past gigs. $349,000. Navarre Hospitality Group, $200,000. United Way of Marshall County, $750,000. What else here? American Laporte Community School. Which one?
American Licorice Company.
Where do you see that one?
American Licorice Company. It's right above the port. Yeah.
American Licorice Company, $200,000. Are you a licorice fan?
I mean, if they're supporting working parents, I can be.
Did you know that American Licorice Company is like Sour Patch?
Wait, really?
Not Sour Patch. Sour Punch.
Sour Punch. Yeah, but I'm here for those too. Yeah, now I'm with it.
Red Vines are my Red Vines, the big one from Costco.
Yeah.
That's a good time.
Yep. So, get one next time I go, specifically because of this now.
Okay. So isn't this cool to see $18.1 million, 64 organizations, and there are, like, we talked about this. The application was, like, super simple, and they got $750,000, $490,000. And this was the one that could go towards offering on-site childcare, reserving childcare seats. Ton of different stuff.
Yeah. I mean, really, it was basically, if it's childcare related and for your employees, it qualified.
Wow.
It's amazing to see, but it's also like, how crazy is that turnaround? A month, right?
Yeah.
It was about a month.
Do you think Do you think they already knew?
And I'm sure some of the applications were in early, like things were fast-tracked, but I mean, we talked $25 million pool. I mean, how many times have we seen some of these funds pop up, right, and they don't get used at all, right? So there's a $25 million fund, even $18.1 million, like, is, like, fantastic utilization on that front. Forget that money. So, I mean, it's really exciting. It's great when we see it go quick, right? Like, here's the application. We're going to get it in hands. We're going to make it impact fast. And I think that's part of, the program being broad. So not shocked by it because, like, it was structured so well and broadly for employees. But it's really cool to see it turn around that quickly. I don't think we've ever seen something turn around that quickly.
Not that quick. But the CHIPS Act, I think we talked at one of our episodes about that got a good amount of money. There was another announcement that was 17 hours ago for $162 million. If you can guess the company, I will buy you a tub of licorice. Don't look it up.
Right. That's, I don't.
Okay. If I guess it, you got to buy me.
You guess what you know, and I will buy you licorice.
Okay. It's Microchip Technology. They got $162 million basically to expand the facilities in Oregon and Colorado. They do microcontroller units, other critical technology. And the goal is to impact the industry, local communities, and create 700 jobs. That's interesting, though. $162 million for 700 jobs.
I mean, but is that just at the plant? Because I know, like, the CHIPS Act as a whole, right? Like, you have to support construction and things like that. So maybe it's not factoring into that total number.
Yeah. That's cool, though, to see, because this was launched last year, and now look, I mean, actually, about 2 years ago, because we've talked to a couple big chip companies, and their applications are still being reviewed. So, but this is the second one in the three-digit million.
It's starting to get through, right? And I think that's the exciting piece of it is there was a lot of waiting. The CHIPS Act, especially around childcare, and that actually starting to get through now is exciting.
It's crazy how many dollars are there. I'm trying to get into our next one, which is Benefits Pro. For those that are not familiar, Benefits Pro, really cool website. You can guess what it's for benefit professionals. But this article, obviously it's January, and so everybody's coming up with their predictions for the year, right? Yeah. Everybody's doing their shake weights. Everybody's getting back into their treadmills. Everybody's
treadmills? Is that
treadmill?
Oh, treadmill. I heard treadmill. Is that treadmill. Like while walking?
Well, it's recorded. We can go back if we need.
Yeah.
we can go back to see if I said it wrong or right. But this one is interesting. They gave a couple predictions. Earned wage access is interesting. Obviously, like improving the employee experience. That's been there for a while. But the one that we're interested in, I'll read it. In 2022, we expect employers to continue to prioritize financial benefits, starting with emergency savings. That is great because there are a ton of stats that say employees, especially frontline workers, can't even afford like a $400 bill. An emergency. Increasingly, employers and providers will emphasize less traditional financial benefits, particularly student debt repayment and caregiving. That's where childcare comes in. And far-sighted leading employers will begin to think beyond employees' near-term financial security toward long-term wealth building and the ways employers can enable wealth creation outside of a retirement plan, which reminds me of a startup that's coming up called Salt Labs. I've seen them, and they're revolutionizing this idea that frontline workers traditionally they work, but they don't really reap the benefits only through a paycheck. They're already living paycheck to paycheck. In fact, I think the stat was they were spending 102% of their income a year. Yep. So they have nothing. You know, you think about how many hours a full-time waitress works. And then at the end of the year, they have negative to show for it. And so they're designing this idea of converting like a loyalty program like Miles, but into employees and supporting them with turnover. I think the fascinating concept, but this is, I sent this to the founder. I'm sure he's well aware of it, but it is so fascinating that companies are going to start to think about how do they help employees build long-term wealth. And the way that this one is set up, it's interesting on how they do it. I can't wait to see how that plays out.
Yeah, I know we've spoken around a little bit. I think it comes down to, right, like it is hard right now to attract and retain frontline workers for all of these reasons, right? Baseline security, long-term wealth, you know, family planning, home ownership. All of these things are getting harder and harder, right, as generations come through. And it's, you know, where does that responsibility lie? And part of, you know, why we started this is like, where are the breaks? Where are the things that we can leverage to make an impact in those populations? Because it's not getting easier, right?
Nope.
Like we keep like the reason, you know, Salt Lab's a great example, right? Job caregiving space. You know, you look at, you know, even student debt repayment, like these are huge, like systemic problems that maybe we'll get around to like solving as a country one day. But in the moment, right, like it's what can we do in the meantime? And how can it impact organizations that need it to impact their employee base?
Yep. Well, that is one of their predictions here, holistic approach to financial benefits. And so they're including caregiving as part of a holistic approach. I mean, when we look at share of income, I mean, I think the last last report we did, what was the share? There was an analysis we did in like some rural areas, the share of child care expense to like monthly income was it 25-30 something percent?
25-30 percent, yeah. So income, yeah. How do you adjust that? So
that's one kid.
Right, it's one kid. There's like, this is a narrow view, right? Like, this is in like holistic financial benefits, but we look at the impact, right? Especially you get into like social determinants of health, right? Okay, like long-term community stability, like all of these things. I know we talked about, like rural areas again, right? Like on that episode, it's like, there's so many benefits to putting these things in place that are beyond just the dollars of it.
Yep. Next in the news, before we get to our main topic here, this one's in NPR. Title is, yep, "To Tackle Poverty, More States Will Offer Bigger Child Care Child Tax Credits in 2024.
You know what that means?
I believe. What does that mean?
It means we're going to have more episodes.
I hope there's at least, let's see, if we do one a week, four a month, 40, 48. Yeah, there's enough. If each state does it, finally. But this one's interesting, right? Because these are going to be at the state level. There is still the IRS Form 8082, which is at the federal level. And then federal funding is also going to state to distribute. They do a lot of this on like supply building. They do a lot of programs to help support child care centers. Like that money flows from the federal to the state, to the counties and cities. And then there's the federal tax credit. And then on top of that, now states are doing this. So New York was one of the latest where they are basically kind of matching that $150,000, but they're doing it on the state income tax level. So there's like so many layers to this, which is really interesting. This article talks about Vermont is one of the 14 states that now have a child care tax credit. 10 of them have either created or expanded the benefit in 2023. 11 states offer the full credit to families with the lowest or even no income. Some state credits are available for immigrants, even those without legal status. Vermont made that change to help the migrant workers who are the backbone of its dairy industry. And so this is also talking about tax credits at the employee level. There's like so many levels of tax credits. Somebody should just put all this together, don't you think?
I never crossed my mind. We certainly
have never crossed your mind.
We have ad nauseum multiple times.
And the cool thing, I mean, about this one, expanding these benefits in states has bipartisan support. Interesting.
It's a bit more of the interesting things. I know, looking at it, we've seen it in blue, red, purple states, right? Like there's, it's a problem that crosses party lines, right? Everybody's got kids and everybody needs to work. And most people at least need to work. And like it's tough, right? The rural, metro, whatever it is difficult to afford it, especially when we get into frontline workforces. And so that kind of feeds into what we're talking about today is, okay, you're going to support, as an employer, you're going to support tuition, right? Child care tuition for your employees in some way, shape, or form.
I mean, that's one of the first questions you got to ask yourself. To what extent, or what's our role going to be, right, in this solution? And should your role include helping your employees financially, which is really the first thing you need to tackle? Then it's like, okay, do we just give people money? Like, what do I give them money? Is it taxable? Is it not taxable? You and I are on the opposite sides of this one.
A little bit. I mean, there's value. I think we process it different ways, right? And what we're going to look at is, right, is there's ways that it can be taxable, right? Imputed income to the employee. And obviously affect payroll taxes on the employer side. And there's ways to avoid that. But there's a catch. Right?
There is a catch.
There's a catch. So I tend to be more in the camp of, you know, let's be broader and focus on the support rather than the potential savings of doing so, because I think the ROI is so significant
But you would be on the other side of, hey, there's a way to save money here. And that gets Greg excited.
I advocate for getting funds into employees' hands. But if there's a way that you can even make those dollars go a little farther, that's where you got my attention. So we're going to talk about how you could do that.
Yeah.
So what is one thing that almost every employer has that only about 1% of employees use?
Well, I can say what I was going to say, but are you talking about a dependent care FSA?
A DCAP account, yes. Dependent care account. Similar to an FSA, HSA, but for dependent care. And keep in mind, dependents are not just children. They're also elders. And so some of the benefits, so let's say I'm an employer and I'd like to give employees $5,000 to go towards childcare. So you have a couple options. Just give it to them directly. Or one option is you can put it into a dependent care account. Why you could do that, there's really a lot of different reasons, but two primary ones, it's non-taxable income to the employee. So $5,000, right? If you're taking 30% hit, it's not a lot of frontline, that's $1,500 basically then? You would save in taxes if you're paying 30%. But then also for the employers that are listening, you pay FICA taxes on that. But in this case, if you gave $5,000, you actually wouldn't pay FICA taxes on that $5,000. So you would save about $380. And that's the area that I think is fascinating, that this can create a win-win for the employee and the employer, but not a lot of people are thinking about it from that angle. There's cons to it, which I can hear.
I mean, that's a no-brainer, right? We can save money on both sides of it. Why is it 1% then, right? If almost every employer has it, why is it 1%, right?
I know why.
Yeah?
So there's a couple different reasons. First of all, you can only elect for a DCAP during open enrollment. That's one time a year, unless you have a life change event.
Uh-huh.
And by the way, there's ways to qualify for a life change event that many people don't know. I'm not going to get into it. I don't know the full rules around it, but I think was moving one that.
At least there's more, right? There's something I remember we looked into it like a couple months ago.
Yeah.
First really like circled around this in depth and. There are ways, right? Like the hurdles are the red tape around it, right? So there's when can you enroll, right?
Yeah.
And then there's what can you use it for, right?
Yes.
This has
and
very
the funding of it is an issue, right?
Yeah, but so most employers like they have them, but they're not funding them, right? So it's
talk a little bit about that when you say not funding them.
Yeah, so as an employer, you can choose to fund, right, a dependent care account, right, and you put that money in, the employee can use it, right, towards tuition, right, eligible benefits, whether it's for child, elder care, right, okay?
On day one, that's the difference, on day one.
If it's funded. But for the most part, employers don't fund that, or maybe will contribute like a small amount, or maybe a matching amount. And so what you're asking employees to do is to go out of pocket. Right. And to save that money as a pre-tax deduction off of their paycheck. Again, there's a tax savings there. It's there. But then you have to submit, right, for that reimbursement. And that reimbursement can only be used, when we talk about childcare, right, for a licensed facility, or if you're using like a nanny or a sitter, right, like in home care, you have to have their tax ID, right? There's very strict requirements on like what you're submitting to get reimbursed. Yep. And I go through this, right? I use mine, right? And I'm glad to have it, right? I fund it myself. The last time I submitted a claim, it took me 3 weeks and going back and forth, right? Again, we use a daycare facility, licensed facility, franchise. Like the software struggles to even get out like a receipt that they have that has all of the information that the dependent care account provider needs, right, to do it. And so when you think about, right, two things there, right? How long are you actually out that money, right?
Yep.
Is pain, right? The burden of having to submit, get the receipt, right? Like there's an uptick there. right? You have the narrow window, right? Or perceived narrow window. We know it's broader, like when you can actually enroll and elect and make changes to this. And then, right, we think about it through the lens of a frontline worker, right? Like being paycheck to paycheck. And, you know, I can take myself back to those days and in working, you know, talk about hospitality work, right? Like, you know, serving, working behind the bar, right? Even busing, right? And, you know, I needed every single one of those dollars.
I know how that is.
Yep. Right? And so to ask somebody to put that aside, right, even for that, right, and especially, right, you know, we look at in the studies we've done, right, in the assessments we've done, frontline workers, vast majority leverage their friends and family network that would typically not be eligible, right? I don't think it was a lot of people submitting, like, grandma's, right, or their mom's, you know, social security number to their FSA provider to get, you know, a reimbursement back on this. Can you do it? Yes. Like, but does it have the implications? Yep. It absolutely does. And that's my struggle with it is, like, it is a great thing, but does it actually help the people that need it most? And I think with how much red tape there is today, I have not seen, and I really hope to see it at some point, someone who can, like, really solve this, right, and make it, like, so turnkey that it will affect frontline populations. But to me, it's just not there yet.
Yeah, I think I'm living into the future because I can see how much better it could get. And that's why I'm such a, like, it's my entrepreneurial hat that's speaking where I'm like, we can make this better, but let's put an example to this for those that might not know. If you as an employee elect $5,000, your basic and the employer takes it out basically per paycheck. So you're taking out about $416 from your paycheck, right? So $416 a month is going to go into this account. Your paycheck is already down $416. Then you still have to pay for childcare that month. So now you're out, and let's just say it costs $1,000. So now you're out $1,400 for that month. Then you have to get the receipt because the services have to be rendered. Then you submit it, right? And then you can get that $416 back. But by the time you get that money, then another $416 is taken out of your paycheck that month, right? And so it's like, if frontline workers just don't have, first, I don't think the companies that do decaps have great education around it. It's a very legacy product. There's a lot of, like, yes, they say there's a lot of marketing and education. It's complicated to try to teach folks that you're going to put the money in now, you're going to save later when you file your tax, which is a year away. You're still going to have to pay for childcare, and then you can get a reimbursement, but that's okay, right? It's like so complicated. I think one way an employer can make this easier is to treat it like an HSA and just pre-fund it on day one. And then by the way, we've talked with the largest DCAT provider out there. There is no, like, technology reason why this can't happen. They literally told me, we just click a button. And then there's no legal reason why you can't.
It's an inertia thing. It's always just kind of been there, right? I think the HSA comparison is apt, right? Because that's, you know, I was actually working in the health insurance space, right? When consumer directed plans, like, came out, right? And HSAs really kind of became a thing. And you know, got to watch that evolution of this, like, very lightly utilized piece that had been around, like, started getting uptick, and companies found, like, hey, we fund this. This is actually, like, it's a way to reduce medical costs, right? In our, you know, medical costs for benefits, but it also is a huge benefit to employees, right? And it, and it works, right? Especially, you know, a lot of it was targeted more towards initially towards, like, younger, healthier people, right? Some of the same demographics are going to be having kids, right? And it's like, you know, hey, like, you don't have a ton of medical expenses yet. Like, these are actually, like, good plan designs for you, and we're going to help fund, you know, some of that, right? And we've seen it become, you know, much more standard, right? To see high deductible health plans are HSA eligible. There's been a ton of innovation development to make that process smoother. Still a lot of legacy HSA providers out there too. where I've had similar experiences, but I've also seen some really clean stuff and great education for it. So I agree with like your future view, right? Like this will get like, I think, solved at a point and you know, it will become easier and we will see companies adopt it, but we haven't quite hit the apex like of that hill in my mind. Like I think it's still it's still gonna be a barrier, and I think it's gonna take time to filter down, which really takes us more towards you know, what I love, which is direct stipends, is putting cash in people's hands.
Well, before we jump into that one,
okay,
I still wanted to call out, as an employer, I think they would get a lot more uptick if they pre-funded. So all employers, just know, for to make it non-taxable to your employees and to make it basically non-taxable to you to not pay your FICA, just put it in. You can put it into a DCAP account, but fund it on day one. Or we've actually seen employers do it per quarter. You can do quarterly. That as well. But just don't require your employees to do it. There is a little bit of risk, right? Like the model has been proven for HSAs that you generally will come out ahead. You won't spend. I don't think it's been tested on the DCAP account side, because people always need childcare, but not everybody needs healthcare on day one, right? So it would take some testing, but what we've seen on the turnover is that it's basically worth it. So this is a great way to take advantage, which is all about the tax break breakdown, is to take advantage of it. So if that's available, do that on day one. And then, yes, somebody, which we've talked to this gentleman before, Tom Daly, he actually works at NFP. I know that he's working on how do you make this easier for everybody, like for the employee, for the employer, for the childcare provider. There's some really cool things that I think you could do. And I'm excited for it. Now let's jump into the other view of the taxable side. So if you want to give somebody money, if you want to give people money from an employer, obviously it's imputed income. Doug, talk a little bit about it.
I am not a patient person. In any facet of my life, right? If I were putting this in place as an employer, I want to see the impact of it almost day one, right? And the easiest way to do that is to take the restrictions away. It's part of what I loved about the Indiana program, right? To go back to episode one and right, the top of this episode, right? Like it's the broader it is, the shorter the time to impact, the quicker we're going to get relief, right, into employees' hands, and specifically those that need it the most, which is frontline employees, low-wage hourly workers, right? Give them money, right? Now, what that does is allows them to use it and leverage, like, the totality of available childcare supply that's available. Right? Let's go back, right, to rural childcare. There's no providers, right? No licensed providers in an area, right? They're all full. You could fund, you know, a DCAP, and there's not even anybody eligible that you could utilize it. But if people are leveraging their friends and family network, you can, you know, we've seen programs where, you know, you can even leverage, you know, like, you know, a spouse that's staying home, right?
And okay, I thought you were going to say diapers.
No, diapers. Get really broad with it, right? And you can kind of treat it like a bit more of an LSA and some of these things. And we focus like specifically on care, right? Which I do think you can explain it in diapers, it's going to have an impact. But for the most part, right, when we talk with employers, right, it's one of two things, right? It's always turnover, right? Turnover, retention, right? Attraction, retention, let go of that. But the one that really moves the needle, right? We have these conversations, right? Is absenteeism. Right? I can't show up to work because I don't have care, right? And so, directly funding.
And what employer, right, is going to say, you know, it's a touchy subject. Like, I literally cannot come to work because I don't. Like, it just creates this, like, hard decision for managers, for HR leaders, because, like, you're empathizing. Yeah. Sometimes it's like, but you have, like, and then the other side is, like, I just can't afford, like, it's such a hard, like, topic.
It's incredibly difficult, and the easiest solution to move the needle is give people money, right? Like, help support it, right? We talked about it, right? You know, I think from again, in the rural standpoint, right, is building the community. You know, it's really building that profile. It's also, right now, massive differentiator
as an employer when you look at impact, because not many do this directly, right? And, you know, we focus on child care, but there's elder care, pet care too, right? And I think that's what you're seeing in the benefit per hour article is like, this is actually a huge need, right? The financial impact of these challenges in caregiving is growing year over year, and it's not getting easier, right? It provides, right, you know, again, you know, the state tax credits, some of these things to help fund some of these programs, they're going to chase. Like, it's a massive opportunity for employers to differentiate, right? Yep. And attract, retain, you know, that they want, especially in some of these like frontline workers where we've had wage compression. How do you become, right, more attractive as an organization, you know, for somebody who can walk down the street and maybe make a dollar more an hour or the same wage, right? Like, it's a lot more parity coming to the space, and it's hard. Like, we've had those conversations. Now, those are the pros, right? You can broadly define the program. They have incredible uptake. You know, we've launched some of these programs and we see 20, 30% utilization just for childcare, right, of the total employee population.
Yep.
Right.
Versus 1% for a DCAP.
For a DCAP, right? It's a significant
in today's numbers. I'm talking
today. Right. Eventually, right, we get these, we can put these things together. I think that's like ultimately the goal is, can we get this utilization with the tax savings at the end of the day?
Yes. That is what we're talking about.
The cons are con. It's taxable.
Oh, here we go. It's taxable. That's a huge con.
It is a huge con, but here's my thing with it, right? Because again, right, I look at this and I want it to be progressive. To me, a DCAP is regressive, right? It's utilized typically by higher wage earners because they have the capital, right?
In today's world.
Downlay, in today's world, not Greg's future world, okay?
I'm talking Greg's future world, but
okay, Greg's future world may be different, right? But when we look at a stipend program, to me, it's progressive, right? Because the tax brackets aren't progressive. So our lowest earners, right, are going to pay the lowest amount of imputed income, right, on these stipends. So it's automatically progressive. Now, again, there's loss in that, right? There's money that's going like to the government, right, rather than the directly there. So I get that piece of it. But it is a lot more accessible for families. The downside is it is taxable. There's a little bit more of a burden, right? You know, how you track those.
Well, so let's put some numbers to this. So the same $5,000, right, that you put into a dependent care account, at the end of the year, the employee is going to actually get money back because they're going to be able to get $1,500. In the stipend model, they may get a bill for $1,500.
Depends on
how they're not taking it up.
If you aggregate it as an employer, put it all in at the end of the year, right? But if it's on each check, right, and you think of, we'll focus on 23 tax brackets, right? Okay. Frontline worker, right, under $44,000 or $44,725, right, is a single filer, right? It's a 12% tax rate.
So $600 on the $5,000.
$600. Yeah. The first 11 is 10, right? It steps up, you know. And so again, right, it's not nothing, but, right, if it means you got a benefit, right, your net benefit in that case, right, is what?
$4,400.
That's better than zero because you can't afford on a DCAP.
Yeah, I worry that maybe some employers don't tell their employees and they get the bill at the end of the year. I know that those that we've worked with, we let them know. At the end of the day, put both solutions together and you have a win-win-win for everybody. And that is what we're going to work on. And I think that's going to probably conclude the episode. So thank you, everybody. Unless there was, I cut you off. were you going to finish? Did you have something else to say?
No, but we can fight. That's fine. Oh, I thought you wanted to fight.
No, I was going to try to wrap up. I know that our last couple episodes were like 50, 60 minutes. This one, we were shooting for 30, but and we're up just about 40. But it was a cool topic. Recap, first of all, the Grug fact, same cars. Indiana, people actually got money. There's more tax credits going to more, like, through states for employers and for employees. 2024 prediction, caregiving is going to be a financial benefit. It's considered under a financial benefit. And then whichever way you look at it, Doug's way, my way, the Grug way is both ways.
Was, yes.
that was a good outro. So we're going to cue the music and throw your pen. Everybody have a great weekend. Happy New Year. And we're out.